The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us now is Mark Krikorian from the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, good morning. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall.
Good morning.
I want to talk about something that's going on in California, and it's not getting a lot of play in the press. A lot of people may not have even known this, but Orange County, which is the third most populous county in California, it's home to about 3 million residents. It also has Disneyland in it, voted on Tuesday 4-0, the Board of the Supervisors for Orange County, to direct the county's council to join the U.S. Attorney General's sanctuary lawsuit against California. They're suing their own state because they don't want sanctuary policies in Orange County. And then the president jumped in. Where are we now?
Well, I mean, that's actually Orange County's response is part of what seems to be a kind of a wave of opposition to California's sanctuary laws. There are three chief laws that the Justice Department is suing on, and this is the county supervisors in Orange County said they were going to join the suit. The day before that, the sheriff of Orange County said that, you know, because they are prohibited from telling ICE about illegal immigrants being released from jail, they said, okay, well, we'll fix you. We're going to post the release dates of all inmates on the internet so ICE can just check it themselves and then wait outside in the parking lot and pick up the people they want. And that actually follows last week a city also in Orange County voted to exempt itself from the sanctuary states, the state sanctuary law. In other words, the city, Los Alamitos, said they want sanctuary from the state's sanctuary policy. So I think this is a growing trend in California of pushing back against the state's illegal attempts at nullifying federal law.
And also, in a weird way, they don't actually serve their own agenda. And here's why. You talk to ICE officials about the fact that California wants to be a sanctuary state. What ends up happening is instead of the bad guys, as in i.e. the felons being handed over to ICE, what happens is they get released and they end up going back to their own immigrant communities wherein there are many illegal immigrants, and ICE shows up and they have to make way more arrests than they want to in the first place. So basically you're attracting ICE enforcement in an area that they were never going to go in the first place, but now they are thanks to your sanctuary policies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, just in a public safety sense, if you have somebody in the controlled environment of a jail, there's no guns, they're all locked up, everything's orderly and organized, you hand them over, it's safer for the law enforcement people, it's safer for the inmates themselves. If ICE has to go out and get them in the street,
yes,
it creates risks for everybody. People are more likely to be able to run, to shoot back, etc. And like you suggest, ICE is probably going to stumble across other illegal immigrants. They call them collateral arrests.
Right.
And they're not just going to let those people go. So, ironically, they're arresting more non-criminals precisely because of California's sanctuary rules.
Yeah, they're inviting these raids. It's just crazy. It's like all of this sort of the emotional politics are creating chaos. And here's another example of where that's happening. This week, the Trump administration announcing that they're going to add the question of citizenship to the United States Census in 2020. And all of a sudden, it seems every Democrat we know is lit their hair on fire for very unclear reasons. Why wouldn't a census simply ask that question in the first place?
It's a good question. I mean, you got to ask, you know, what are they afraid of? What are they trying to hide? An interesting thing I learned yesterday is that the United Nations recommends that all countries ask citizenship in their respective censuses. So the Democrats are opposing UN-approved policy of asking citizenship. What they say they're afraid of is that they think immigrants will be less likely to answer the census, and so the census count will be smaller in places with lots of immigrants, which means they will get less government grants, federal grants, and may, if there's enough of that, may result in fewer seats in the House of Representatives for immigrant-heavy places like California. None of the data we looked at, we've published a couple of posts on this at our website, cis.org. None of the data suggests there's likely to be a drop-off in the people, number of people answering census if they just ask, not are you illegal, just are you a U.S. citizen or are you not a U.S. citizen?
It seems there's a battle brewing in California, and the battle lines are becoming clearer between legal residents and illegals. And the Democrats that run California have to make a decision now. Are they going to side with the citizens who, or the illegals? And it seems that battle is shaping up. Do you see that battle being the battle among Democrats going into the midterms?
Oh, they made that decision a long time ago, and they sided with the illegal immigrants against legal immigrants and against American citizens. Especially on the citizenship issue, I think, as well as the sanctuary city issue, it's a very clear, you know, a clear distinction. The public is overwhelmingly on the right side of those. The only problem is, will Republican candidates have the wit to challenge it, to make these issues clear, present them in stark terms? Are you, you know, do you believe in American citizenship, or are you with these Democrats who want to basically ignore and erase the differences of American citizenship? Yes or no? The problem is, are the Democrats, are the Republicans, do they have enough sense to be able to make that a clear, unequivocal, non-scary, but obvious decision for people to make? And, you know, the Republican Party has never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity, I'm afraid.
That's true.
The Washington Times has an interesting article, and they're writing about the reality that because U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services accepted DACA applications, in those applications, those illegal immigrants were required to indicate all six Social Security numbers they've ever used, meaning the government has apparent records of a variety of felonies. Should this go somewhere?
No, it's actually worse than that, because that was the original DACA application, said list all Social Security numbers you've ever used.
Yeah.
In other words, if you have a legal one, show that, but also the ones that you stole or made up. Well, once the advocacy groups called the Obama administration, they ran the Obama administration's immigration policy, they were told, wait, that's going to dissuade DACA people from applying for DACA, because they're going to be afraid to say, yeah, here I stole these three numbers.
Yes.
So they didn't ask it. They said, oh, no, excuse us. Just tell us if you were given a lawful number. Don't tell us your illegal numbers. And it even went worse than that. In other words, the way it went farther than that. The Social Security Administration, before 2012, used to tell people that somebody has stolen or used your number inappropriately. They stopped doing that because they were afraid if they sent notices to DACAs saying that, hey, your name and Social Security number don't match, is there something wrong here? They were afraid that DACAs would be less likely to apply for DACA. Those are the people who were eligible. So they stopped telling anybody that there were mismatches with their numbers so as not to dissuade DACAs, which means large numbers of Americans have not been informed.
Meanwhile, we're calling Facebook before Congress to demand why they screwed up with our information, yet we aren't entitled to know what happened to our Social Security numbers. That makes sense. Good job, government.
Of course it does. I mean, that's exactly the kind of thing you would expect from these guys. And even worse, they kept it secret, that decision. They kept it secret for 4 years.
Yeah.
And only toward the end of the Obama administration did they include it in the footnote of something that we happen to have almost by accident noticed.
It's corrupt.
Right. Well, Mark Krikorian, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It is
thank
now
you.